Genesis chapter 9 and verse 12. Great singing this morning. They had no idea that I didn't tell them what I was preaching on, and Debbie just couldn't have picked a better song to go with the sermon. As long as I do this, I'm always amazed at how the Holy Spirit puts things together. Just the right time. Genesis 9:12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Then in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3, I want to read another passage. It says that he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. I want to preach this morning for a little while about the rainbow. Several months ago, I did a study on rainbows. And, of course, we know what it means in the Word of God. The passage that we read to you this morning took place at a great event in history. After that God had created this earth, we know that man's heart was set on evil and wickedness. Every imagination of the heart was on evil. Wickedness filled the entire earth, and it repented the Lord God that He had made man. And He said, "I'm going to destroy the earth by water." And we know that the great flood came, and through that period of time, Noah and his family, being obedient to God, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave him the plan where that there could be safety in the midst of the storm that was coming. And judgment was coming to the earth. And I'll say this right now, judgment is coming to every person under my voice this morning, including myself. And when judgment comes, we need someone to protect us, a safe place. I'm glad there is still a boat. I remember years ago I heard a senator make a comment on C-SPAN one time. He said, "I tell you, the days we're living in now, it's just about like the days of Noah. The only difference is we don't have a boat to get on board." And I thought, brother, I've got a boat. The old ship of Zion, amen, hasn't lost the one yet, and she'll sail safely to the other shore. But God, after the flood was over, He said, "I'm going to make a covenant with man. I'm going to set a rainbow in the clouds." And then again, at the end of time, we see, after all the battles have been fought, after all the wars are over, once again, when we reach the end of time, we see a rainbow, once again, around the throne of God. So we see that perpetual covenant will stand forever. God's promise to mankind of a way of God's grace and mercy to protect us, even through the judgment and through the storms that come. I thought about that, and in reality, I think there was three occasions where God had special appearances in the sky to teach a lesson to mankind. We know the first appearance in the sky was that of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God put the cloud and the fire in the sky to guide the children of Israel from their journey, and that was a picture of God's presence. And every time that God does something in the skies, He's trying to teach man something. And I can say this morning, that I am so thankful for the mighty, mighty presence of the Lord. Where would we be without the presence of God? I preach in churches all across this country that no longer desire or yearn or crave for the presence of God. But I tell you, I yearn for God's presence in our services. I yearn for God's presence in our life. I know when the presence of the Lord comes, and that's what makes the difference. Thank God for His mighty presence. We were there in the Holy Land this week, and we came down from Mount Scopus and was traveling down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we were traveling on the road down, we had to stop the bus. There was a shepherd that was crossing the road there with his sheep. And I mentioned to Barry, I said, "Look at what he's got." And he had some wadding in his hand. Wadding has the fragrances of the shepherd on it. And what he does is he takes that wadding, and if he's at a dangerous place, such as crossing a highway, he's not going to go across the highway and leave the sheep to cross alone. What he does is he stands in the road to watch out for the traffic. But he knows that if he stands there, that the sheep wouldn't keep moving on. So what he does is take this wadding, and it has some of his old garments, some of his old fragrance, some of his old spices on it. And he'll throw that wadding out in front of the sheep, and that leaves a fragrance behind. Really what it is, it's the presence of the shepherd. And he threw that wadding from one side of the road to the other. And those sheep started pursuing after that wadding because that wadding had the presence of the shepherd on it. Thank God sometimes we'll come in crossroads in our life that the Lord doesn't leave us alone. But He'll stand on the highway of life. But He'll say, if you go safely to the other side, I've already sent my presence before you. And I'm there before you ever get there. God goes before us. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I used to have a friend that coon hunted. He loved to coon hunt. And we got to talking about it. And we was amazed at this. And Billy and I was talking when we were overseas. And I don't know if any of you have ever been involved in coon hunting, but I tell you, the only thing any more important to a coon hunter besides his dog is, well, nothing, I guess. His dog is the most important thing to a real coon hunter. And they guard those dogs, protect those dogs, and those dogs are obedient. Why? Because if they're not obedient to the master, then they know that it's easy for them to lose their dog. If a dog doesn't listen to the master, then what happens is that he'll start chasing deer, go over top one of the ridges, and he'd be gone forever. So they have to teach those dogs to be obedient. And we got to talking about it, and I was telling about a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, that raised a lot of dogs. And Billy said, you know, Cal, said, I was with a fellow one time coon hunting, and he said, we were there, and we went in that night after that we'd been hunting that night, and he said, I want to show you something. And he said that he took his jacket off, and he laid his jacket down beside that dog, and he told that dog, he said, now you stay. He said, the next morning when we got up, he said, that dog was lying right there by the jacket. And he said, why didn't that dog ever leave? He said, because on that jacket, he could smell the master. And he didn't ever want to leave where the master was. I got to thinking about that. Glory to God. I'm glad that I know when the Lord passes by, some folks can get along without the presence of God. But we need God's presence in our life more than ever before. And you see, when the presence of the Lord shows up, that's what really makes the difference, isn't it? Several years ago, our family had a dear friend. She was a young lady. She was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor. And they knew that there was nothing they could do. They tried surgery. It didn't work. And finally, it was just a matter of days before that she'd be leaving this world. And her dad was unsaved. And her mom attended church some, but her dad wasn't a Christian. Hard to reach. You couldn't hardly reach him at all. He just wouldn't let you talk to him about the Lord. He was a good man, and he'd do anything for you, but you couldn't talk to him about the Lord. Came down to those final few days, final few hours, when she was ready to leave this world. She'd gone into a coma for a couple of days. No one could communicate with her. And every time you'd go in, she was getting more and more frail. Day after day, we were visiting there. One day we walked in and something strange had happened. Her dear preacher had passed by, and he was there talking to the young lady. She was a great, great Christian. And he said, let's go in the room. We all went in the room, and as we entered into the room, he said, I think it'd be good. You know, it's almost like a death watch there for 5 or 10 minutes. He said, I think it'd be good if we just had a word, some scripture and a word of prayer and prayed. And he said, I think I'll just read her favorite passage of scripture. She'd been in a coma for 2 or 3 days, and he started to read, the Lord is my shepherd. And out of nowhere, she came out of that coma, and she said, I shall not want. And she finished quoting that 23rd Psalm, and the mighty presence of the Lord came into that room. Let me tell you something, folks. There'll come a day when our friends and family cannot go with us. We'll go down to the crossing of the river, but hallelujah, the presence of the Lord will still be there in that our God's presence. That's what makes the difference, is the mighty power and presence of the Lord. Without God's presence, we'll never see anything happen. But when the Lord passes by, that's when things happen for the glory of God. Amen. The presence of the Lord. This week I went over on Thursday. I was absolutely exhausted, and I thought, I got a phone call early, and some from the station had called and said, are you going to be able to make it over? I said, I'll be over as quick as I can. And I left and went over to stay just a few minutes. I think I was there for 10 hours. And when I got on the radio there, we started trying to help them raise the funds to keep the radio station going over at WOKE. And they were taking the pledges, and this was happening and that was happening. But all of a sudden, in the middle of that studio, Mike Collins and I, there was all the volunteers behind. Everyone was working. The phones was ringing. At that point, all the lines were lit up. And I looked at Mike, and I just jotted down a little note there, and I said, Mike, I sense the presence of the Lord here. And he felt the same thing. And the presence of the Lord, it was different. It wasn't to raise money. It was for someone that needed the Lord. And we started praying and we shared the burden with others that were there. There was a man that had donated a Bible. He runs a cemetery. And he donated a Bible to try to help raise some funds. And he of course had the station on because he knew that they would be giving that Bible away. And he said, as he had the station on and we were praying and pleading with people, and finally we got to the point where we wanted to give them a chance to call in where we could pray with them. So they put on the song, "I've Got So Much to Thank Him For." And as the song was playing, the phone rang. And it was this fellow from the cemetery plot. He said, "Hey," he said, "there's a young man in here, 23 years old, came in to pick out his cemetery plot." And he looked at him and he said, "You don't believe all that stuff, do you?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I don't have a thing to thank the Lord for. I've got less than 2 months to live and I'm here to pick out my cemetery plot." And he started telling him about the Lord, and the young man got saved as he heard that. And he called back in and said, "The boy gave his life to Jesus there." I think it was the first person that fellow ever led to the Lord. Later on that evening, after he got off work, he came by, testified to what had happened. Let me tell you something, folks. God's presence is not restricted to this place. I know that this service goes out by radio every Sunday morning. Thank God the power of God is at the other end of radio sets this morning. Folks that's all alone in their homes thinking that no one is there, but oh, the Lord is there today. And God is able to touch their heart. The presence of the Lord. God said, "You have my presence, and without my presence, you can do nothing." He put a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Well, needless to say, I'm not going to finish the sermon this morning. Amen. He also put a star in the heavens. Why a star? Because of His preeminence. A star can be seen by everybody, everywhere. And there's nothing that has the glory as a star has the glory. He is preeminent in all things. He is before all things, behind all things, in all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him does not anything exist today. He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. He is the one that's higher than all of the ideas that man will ever come up with. There's no one that can supersede Him. He is preeminent in everything in life. And He said, "I place a new star into the heavens to show that I am preeminent." But then He put a cloud, a rainbow in the clouds. Why a rainbow? To tell us not only of His presence and His preeminence, but of His promise. Too many folks look at this and read this, and what they read is this. They say, "That's God's contract with mankind." That's not what the Bible says. This is not a contract. This is a covenant. Now, a covenant is different than a contract. A contract hinges on two or more parties, each one doing their part. But I've got news for you. God does His part whether you do your part or not. He is a God of promises. And what God says He'll do, that's exactly what He'll do. No doubt about it, no wavering. I've said it many times. I used to see a bumper sticker every now and then. Said, "God said it, I believe it," and that settles it. If God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. The believing changes you. It doesn't change God. God's mind and God's plan is etched in stone. And there's no changing God's plan or God's mind. All of the believing, all it does is change you, my friend. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's no fact in earth that can ever change that. So it is a covenant with you. I thought about the rainbow too. Undoubtedly, it has to be a picture of Jesus. Why? Because people try to pervert the rainbow. You know what all the signs of all the homosexual movements, gay and lesbian movements is today? Do you know what their symbol is? A rainbow. I'm still preaching. Are you awake? A rainbow. Why would they choose a rainbow to try to pervert something good that God has given? What kind of a covenant can they say that's being made by that? Now, you know, I thought about this. God is the only one that can go contrary to nature and it turn out all right. When man goes contrary to nature, it's a mess.
What do you mean by that? The Bible says that we as Gentiles, do you know why that we're saved today? Do you know why we're saved? The Bible says because the minds and hearts of the Israelites, God's chosen people, have been blinded and the affection of God has been turned to the Gentiles. God said, I have made you as a wild olive branch grafted in. And do you know what He said that was? Contrary to nature. But when man takes things and does things contrary to nature, it always turns out in a mess. And it always goes the wrong direction. And we see any time that God does anything good, you mark this down, the devil will try to copy that. That's why we serve a Christ, but also the Bible talks about an Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, you'll read where there's two white horse riders. One comes and says, peace and safety, but he carries bows. He carries arrows with him because he says peace and safety, but it brings weapons of destruction. But there's another white horse rider that when he comes, he rules with a wrought iron. Thank God, he doesn't come to destroy, but he comes as Prince of Peace. There's always that copycat on the devil's side of what God does. Just as sure as there's something genuine, there's something artificial. That's why there's churches out there today. And you've experienced some of them that bless their heart, they're sincere, and they're trying to do what's right. And they get so close to what the Word of God says. But on the major points and doctrines of the Word of God, they turn their back on it. And they miss the mark. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I thought concerning the rainbow being a picture of Christ. You know, there's six colors in the rainbow from bottom to top. Let me give you what they are. I'm going to give you this, just a couple other things, because if you want to hear the rest of it, you have to come back tonight, okay? From bottom to top, here's the colors of the rainbow. Purple, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. On the top side is the red, on the bottom side is the purple. You say, now how do you figure that that's a picture of Christ? Well, colors have significant meaning in life. The purple color is the color of royalty or majesty. Thank God. When we look to the Lord, we must first see Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords if we're ever going to be saved. You can't come to the Lord and say, I just think you're another Lord. I think you're another Savior. He has to be the only Savior, the only King. Without regarding Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then we don't realize the importance of His name. And there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:15, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What was He saying? He's saying there is no other ruler but Me. There is no other King but Me. There is no other majesty but Me. There is no other Savior in the world but Jesus. He alone is the Son of God. He alone has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the first thing you have to do when you look at a rainbow is say to yourself, first of all, I have to acknowledge that Jesus is King. Amen. That's why the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? The what? Not Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Why did He say that? Because He knows that until we realize He is the only Savior of the world, we'll not realize that He is our only hope to be saved. Amen. Then the color blue. The color blue is a picture of heaven. When we think of blue, we think of heaven. You notice how many funeral homes you go into that the caskets are lined with blue. It's a picture of heaven, a symbol of heaven. The Bible says in John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. When I couldn't get to where He was, thank God He came to where I am. Heaven came down. We used to sing that old song, heaven came down and glory filled our soul. How does that happen? When Jesus comes into our heart, He's the one that's responsible for heaven. And when He comes down and enters our life, we have heaven in our soul. Then there's the color green. Green is a picture of new life. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. These hills are dying out now. The leaves are falling. The grass is withering. That comes springtime, should the Lord tarry and is coming, that with the sunlight and the water once again, the green will begin to spring out on the trees and on the lawns. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of new life. Thank God for a Savior that can take a life that's dead and crippled and maimed. Thank the Lord and give us new life. Only the Lord can do that. There's the color yellow. That's a picture of sunlight. He is the light of the world. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then there's orange. What's the color orange say? The color orange says it is a sign of warning. In other words, He's saying that we must repent and be converted if our sins are to be blotted out. The warning to you today is there is no hope of tomorrow, of the next week, of the next year. If you're going to be saved, you need to be saved today. The warning is now. You must be saved.
Amen.
Then there's red. What's red the color of? Blood. Hey, get it now. That's from bottom to top. Now with those six colors mixed together, there can be colors that we can't even imagine in our mind. But with those six colors together, do you see the picture? From earth looking up, we see His royalty. From heaven looking down, He sees the blood. When a bow comes over the earth, what's that saying is? The covenant. What covenant? The same covenant that He made with Abraham when He divided the bird and walked down the trench of the blood. He's saying, when I look down, you're shielded by the blood. I'm glad when we see Him as King, He looks down and He sees the blood, and the blood is a covering for our sins. And you know what amazed me? I found out as I studied on this, I found out that for every rainbow, there's also a secondary rainbow. And in the secondary rainbow, the colors are just reversed in the secondary rainbow. When we look up, we see the blood. And as He looks down, He's the King of glory that says, I acknowledge that's my blood. Thank God, thank God. Folks, we're shadowed and overshadowed by a rainbow of God's promise. God's Word cannot fail. The Lord says, I make a covenant. If you do this, I'll do that. That's God's promise. That's why some of you today are having such a hard time being saved. Why? Because you're still trying to do your part. And your part has nothing to do with it. If you could do anything on your own merit to be saved, Jesus died in vain. The covenant stands. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Don't you believe in living right and doing it? If you all don't know me any better than that, you need to go get you another church. Amen? Sure, you live right. You do right. You stand on God's Word. But I'm saying this. I know a lot of people that live a good life, but still, they're not under the blood. They need the Lord. Rosie testifying this morning. Folks, I mean this with all my heart. I believe God would have done anything in the world for me. As an unsaved man, He'd have done anything in the world that I called on Him. If He had the ability, He would have done it. But you see, the greatest thing of all was a couple Sundays ago when He got under the blood. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference in our life. And that's what will make the difference in your life. When you see it's God's covenant to you, and you accept that by faith. To have a rainbow, I'll leave you these two things. I want you to think about this. To have a rainbow, two things have to happen. Two things that's necessary to have a rainbow. First of all, there has to be a disturbance in heaven. A storm. And second of all, you have to have sunlight. Storm and sunlight. You know, nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a disturbance in heaven. The Heavenly Father was so disturbed that as the King of glory was nailed to a rugged cross on Calvary's tree, But the King of Glory drew the curtain of time and the heavens were blackened. There was a disturbance in glory. But on the third morning, the sunlight came through. From Calvary's storm came the resurrection. And from the resurrection came the rainbow. What rainbow? The rainbow that we're covered by a shield of blood. There's people here today, you need the Lord. I'm going to ask you just for a moment to bow your heads. Angie, as you come, Todd comes.